Good afternoon. It's 4:30 and 17 degrees in Moorhead. This is Mountain Edition. I'm Samantha Morrill.
And my economic developers have told me that great companies, that they won't even look at coming to our district without this box checked.
Republican State Representative Melinda Gibbons Prunty says that's why she voted to make Kentucky a right-to-work state. The Senate considers the same measure tomorrow. Kentucky highway crews have their first skirmish with Old Man Winter, and Ashland City Commissioners have gone on record opposing a judicial redistricting plan drafted by the Chief Justice of the Kentucky Supreme Court. In sports, the Moorhead State basketball teams are both in action Saturday at Johnson Arena. The Eagles take on SIU Edwardsville in afternoon contests. And Bud Luke has the stocks cold tonight with a low around 5 above. The complete forecast after this news. While the main roads are in pretty good shape right now, a spokesman for the District 9 office of the State Department of Highways says many of the secondary roads in northeastern Kentucky are still snow-covered and hazardous. According to Alan Blair, those driving through the district's 10-county service region need to be careful.
Take it slow. While all of our crews are working hard to get the roads clear, there could be spots that are still covered in snow. And some ice out there, especially with these temperatures we're having that are in the teens and with the pavement temperatures below freezing. You know, we're going to see some ice today. It is our goal to get to all the roads and get them all cleared.
Blair says District 9 has had 70 snow plows on the roads and 100 crew members working 12-hour shifts since the snow started falling. He notes that getting the 2,000 miles of pavement cleared of snow and ice has been made more challenging by the handful of snow bands that came through the region from yesterday afternoon into early this morning. The Kmart store in Grayson and the Sears Hometown store in Moorhead have survived the latest round of closings announced by Sears Holding. That's the parent company of the two department stores. However, two regional Kmart stores are on the chopping block. One is on West Avenue in New Boston, Ohio. The other is on Paris Pike in Georgetown. Those stores will be closed in the spring. Nationwide, 108 Kmart locations and 42 Sears stores are being mothballed. Rowan Judge Executive Walter Blevins says the county's new detention center is still on schedule to open in early to mid-2018. Blevins says despite some recent wet and wintry weather, construction crews have made good progress on the planned 300-bed project. He adds he's excited that some of the facility's concrete and steel is now in place.
I think all of us, the sooner we can get into that building, the sooner we can take more inmates and we can actually hopefully maybe turn this into something more positive for the community as well. And it looks like crime's not going to go down. It seems to be escalating, and if it's going to escalate, you got to deal with it. And the only way I know how to deal with it is to put people behind bars and protect the citizens.
Blevins says despite some construction change orders issued by state inspectors, the Rowan Jail project is still within its $18 million budget. Ashland City Commissioners have gone on record in opposition to Kentucky Supreme Court Chief Justice John Minton's statewide judicial redistricting plan. Commissioners Thursday approved a resolution to that effect. Under Minton's proposal, Boyd County would gain a family court judge but would lose two of its four judges in district and circuit court. Commissioner Matt Perkins doesn't see how that would be an improvement to the system.
My uncle is a judge in district court, and I have not seen a reduction of caseload for him. In fact, I think he's busier than ever, and I cannot imagine how cutting our judicial seats in half is going to be a good thing for our community. Unfortunately, we still have a big need for a lot of cases to get pushed through our court system.
The Kentucky legislature could vote on the plan this year. If approved, the changes would take effect in 2022. Judicial districts in the Commonwealth have not been altered in more than four decades. A bill requiring women to get an ultrasound prior to getting an abortion has passed in the Kentucky House. The informed consent bill was up for consideration yesterday and prompted intense debate from several representatives. Joni Jenkins stands with those who say the legislation takes away from a woman's right to make her own decision. She butted heads with Jim Duplessis, who argues women need to be informed.
This bill is about informed consent. I find it rather humorous that anybody would be afraid or try to instill fear in information.
It's not about decreasing abortions in the state of Kentucky. It's about using a political ploy against Democrats. And you've done it again and again and again.
The bill passed by a wide margin and now heads to the Senate for consideration. A controversial right-to-work bill has passed in the Kentucky House of Representatives with angry protesters looking on. Haley Hansen reports.
Opponents of the bill had some harsh words for supporters that wanted to make it illegal for workers to have to join a labor union or pay dues in order to keep a job. Here's Jefferson County Representative Jim Wayne.
I can't help but believe, based on what I read and reflect on in Scripture, that God must be creating a huge addition to hell.
Supporters say the right-to-work bill will attract more jobs to the state. It now heads to the Senate for consideration. I'm Haley Hansen.
At some point during their 30-day legislative session, Kentucky lawmakers will start the process of reforming the Commonwealth's outdated tax system. That's the belief of State Representative Jill York of Grayson. The Republican says a number of ideas for what shape that reform will take are still being discussed. However, she thinks its final form will be determined by a couple of key factors.
A lot of data about what would allow the economy to thrive, allow our citizens to be able to have a little bit more money in their pocket, but also provide the state with a stream of revenue to be able to provide the services that, of course, we are expected to be able to share with our citizens is the key.
York says lowering or eliminating the state income tax has been discussed, along with possibly moving to a flat tax system. She believes while some of the heavy lifting regarding tax reform can begin during the 2017 session, legislators will likely need a special session or part of the 2018 session to complete the job. Kentucky lawmakers will meet for a rare Saturday session to consider bills on right to work, prevailing wage, and ultrasounds. Republican Damon Thayer of Georgetown is the Senate Majority Leader.
Tomorrow we will move with speed to the orders of the day to consider these three bills for final passage.
The House approved the measures Thursday. Kentucky was once hailed as an Obamacare success story, but Senator Mitch McConnell says that's no longer the case. The Republican says it's not surprising that Kentuckians turned against the nation's health care law because it has failed in all but one respect.
The technical rate of the insured ticked up, they say, so why are so many Kentuckians upset? Why are they upset? Well, when you force Kentuckians into Obamacare plans that many of their doctors won't accept, what did you think would happen? When you shoehorn folks with modest incomes into plans with ever-growing premiums and deductibles so high they're afraid to even get sick, what do you expect?
McConnell spoke on the Senate floor Thursday. He says repealing the Affordable Care Act is a moral imperative for Congress. Rules and regulations developed by unaccountable, unelected federal bureaucrats are costing the U.S. economy nearly $2 trillion annually, and it's time to put a stop to it. That's the view of Congressman Andy Barr. The Fayette County Republican wants Congress to approve legislation that requires the most expensive of those regulations to come before the House and Senate for a vote. Without such a requirement, Barr says, Congress is of little use.
What are we doing here? If that's really what we should just turn out the lights, lock the door, and leave, and give the keys to government to the executive branch. We had a Democratic administration over the last 8 years. We're going to have a Republican administration coming. This is not about Republicans and Democrats. This is not a partisan issue. This is about the integrity of the institution of Congress.
Barr says the ceding of regulatory powers by Congress to the executive branch is unconstitutional. He spoke on the House floor Thursday. John Yarmuth was the only Kentucky congressman Thursday who voted against a House measure expressing opposition to a United Nations General Assembly resolution that criticizes Israel for its settlements in the West Bank and East Jerusalem. The Louisville lawmaker is also the only Democrat in the Kentucky delegation. Yarmuth, who is Jewish, has been to Israel and believes the settlements are an obstacle to a lasting peace in the Middle East.
Israel must end settlement expansion, close their outposts, and get to the negotiating table. Prime Minister Netanyahu has not treated the Obama administration with respect, and this resolution does not offer the American people the honest, true debate we should be having about this critically important issue.
The settlements have been built on land occupied by Israel following its 1967 war with Egypt. Palestinians have been seeking return of the territory to form an independent state. The House vote condemning the UN resolution on Israel was 342-80. Over $1 million in grant money has been awarded to the Lewis County School District, MSPR's Chaz Jenkins reports.
According to the Maysville Ledger Independent, the Lewis County Board of Education received two grants. One was a $50,000 Math Achievement Fund grant that would support implementing math interventions at Garrison Elementary School. The other was a $1 million Literacy Interventions for Neighborhoods in Kentucky grant and would support literacy for the entire Lewis County School District. The LINK grant will be used to buy hardware, software, library books, teacher trainers, and a teacher trainer coach for the district. For more Head State Public Radio news, I'm Chaz Jenkins.
Littering has steadily become a serious problem in Carter County. Judge Executive Mike Malone says many of the county's roadsides and waterways have become dumping grounds for old furniture, tires, appliances, and other kinds of trash.
It's just low behavior to do that and to do it to other people. And there's people that try to save the money on getting the garbage collected, and they take it and throw it in the creeks or on public property. And we're going to do everything within our power to call a halt to that, and the people that don't go along with it, we're going to see to it that they're subjected to some discomfort, whether it be financial or jail time.
Malone says those caught illegally dumping their trash in Carter County could be given 30-day sentences or community service, where they would have to work with roadside cleanup crews. He believes not dealing with the problem will impact the county's economic development efforts. And turning to take a look at the weather forecast for the MSPR listening area. For the rest of this afternoon, very cold and mostly cloudy with highs in the upper teens. Tonight, cold and mostly cloudy with flurries possible, lows around 5 above. For Saturday, very cold, mostly sunny though, highs in the upper teens. Saturday night, cold and partly cloudy, lows around 10 above. On Sunday, sunny with highs in the lower 20s. Monday, partly sunny, highs in the upper 30s. And that night, Monday night, mostly cloudy with a 50% chance of snow showers, lows in the lower 30s. It is currently 19 degrees in Ashland, 15 degrees in Flemingsburg, 21 degrees in Inez. It's 16 degrees in Lexington and Winchester. Right here in Moorhead, it is currently 17 degrees. The time is 4:42. You're tuned to Mountain Edition on Moorhead State Public Radio. On our feature segment this afternoon, we have commentary from Moorhead State University Professor John Modaff. He wonders if, for the new year, we might commit to going back and cleaning up some messes before we make any new ones.
Thinking naively, and perhaps too optimistically, maybe our nation's leaders could make a New Year's resolution not to drop bombs and set landmines during 2017. They have a way of sticking around. Finding unexploded World War II bombs is not unusual in Germany, so said the AP recently in a story about a huge bomb discovered at a German construction site. Think of it. Here is the second decade of the 21st century, and bombs from the Second World War are still a danger. Millions of tons of unexploded ordnance lay on or under the ground all over the world. Wars do not end. They just quiet down. For example, in the United States, Civil War shells and cannonballs are still being discovered, and restorers put their lives at risk and are killed when things go wrong. Farmers in France stack up piles of World War I artillery shells while they till their fields each year. Londoners are rushed from their homes when beneath their leafy streets 500-pound unexploded bombs are found during digs or construction. In countries like Afghanistan, mines litter the land where our own forces and others spread them for tactical reasons, unconcerned that decades later children would lose limbs or their lives just playing outdoors. Are these bombs mere leftovers of conflicts long past? But are they not also signs of what to expect and what to fear in the wars that brew today and threaten to break out tomorrow? Millions of tons of explosives were dropped and set in the name of good, of right, and of morality. But how can we say we won, or anyone won, when innocent people are maimed and killed each day around the world? Our bombs, our wars, continue. Wars never end, and each new discovery, each new injury, each new death will remind us of what our country did in our name. The liberating armies of the major wars have plenty to be proud of, but their campaigns of death and destruction are not over, and for that we and the world will all continue to pay in guilt and in guts. Maybe the military could close a few golf courses and use the money to clean up the messes of death we've left around the world. Leading by example, here's something easy the new president can do that would truly be huge. Save innocent lives from unexploded American ordnance.
Hell, you crazy.
I'm John Modaff.
Time is 4:45. You're listening to Morehead State Public Radio. This is Mountain Edition. Coming up at 5 o'clock is All Things Considered. Here's a look at some of the stories they'll be covering. Authorities aren't giving a possible motive for today's deadly shooting at the Fort Lauderdale, Florida airport, where a man opened fire in the baggage claim area, killing 5 people and wounding 8 others. The suspect was then taken into custody. A witness tells MSNBC that the man threw down his weapon after the shooting and lay spread eagle on the ground until he was arrested. A passenger who witnessed the shooting at the Fort Lauderdale airport says he heard the first gunshots as he picked up his luggage from a baggage claim carousel. John Schilcher told Fox News that the person next to him fell to the ground. He says other people started falling, and he then dropped to the ground with his wife and mother-in-law. He says the shooter emptied his weapon and reloaded during an eerily quiet lull in the gunfire. Donald Trump is saying he had a constructive meeting and conversation with intelligence leaders today, but insists that any hacking attempts had absolutely no effect on the election outcome. Trump released the statement soon after the intelligence leaders' report on Russians' alleged hacking attempts to influence last year's election. Trump did not say whether he agreed with the conclusions. He has previously been sharply critical of the allegations that Russia tried to interfere with the election. And a judge has denied bond for 4 suspects accused in the beating of a mentally disabled man broadcast live on Facebook. The 4 appeared today in court, where the judge asked them, quote, "Where was your sense of decency?" The 4 are charged with hate crimes and aggravated kidnapping and battery, among other charges. Authorities say the 4 black suspects assaulted the white suburban teenager, threatening him with a knife and taunting him with profanities against white people and President-elect Donald Trump. Those and many more stories are coming up at 5 o'clock on All Things Considered. For now, we have sports in just a moment.
Community Recycling Center in Morehead. Funded in part through a grant from the Kentucky Division of Waste Management, a second green recycling trailer will be rotating among Elliottville, Hayes Crossing, Farmers, and at the MMRC Fire Department on Kentucky 801 North. In addition, a green recycling trailer will always be located across from Walmart in the parking lot at the community park. The rotating trailer schedule is online at moreheadrecycling.org.
The Eagles eye a return to the nest. Good afternoon. Morehead State Public Radio Sports, I'm Chuck Meraz reporting. After both teams scored wins against Eastern Illinois last night, it's another OVC doubleheader tomorrow at Johnson Arena for the Morehead State women and men as they do battle with SIU Edwardsville. Coach Greg Todd's MSU women will bid for their 9th win in a row while also seeking to move their conference record to 4-0. They'll meet the Cougars at 2 p.m.
Coach Busher's done a good job with them. They played a murderous schedule. They're tough defensively. Their posts are tough, and will be another good OVC matchup.
The men's game will start at 4:15. Interim coach Preston Spradlin's Eagles will be trying to add to their 1-1 OVC record against an Edwardsville squad that's 5-11 overall, 0-2 in conference.
Every game is very, very important when you get into league play, and we're just going to take it one day at a time. Right now, we're on the track to do what we need to do. We just got to continue to do that.
SIUE fell at Eastern Kentucky last night, 78-61. Both Louisville and Kentucky also play tomorrow. The 9th-ranked Cardinals will bid again for their first ACC win of the season at 0-2. They'll visit Georgia Tech at 2 p.m. As for UK, the number 6 Wildcats will try to move to 3-0 in the SEC as they host Arkansas. Coach John Calipari says while his young team is playing well, it still has something crucial it needs to improve on.
We are going to work on discipline as a staff and as a coach. That's what I'm about right now. Discipline play. In other words, here's how we're going to play. Then play that way. Here's what your job is. Do your job. And if everybody's doing that, you can trust everybody.
UK's contest with Arkansas tips off at 8:30 tomorrow evening at Rupp Arena. The Rowland County basketball team's 6 p.m. twin bill at home against Fleming County has been postponed. It will be rescheduled at a later date. There's one wild card issue for top-ranked Alabama as it prepares to meet second-ranked Clemson Monday night in Tampa in college football's national championship game. With the recent surprise firing of offensive coordinator Lane Kiffin, the Crimson Tide have moved their director of offensive quality control, Steve Sarkisian, into that role. Head coach Nick Saban believes he'll handle it just fine.
Guy's been with us the whole year, the whole football season. He knows the offense. He knows the players. He's worked on the game plans every week. Knows the system inside and out, knows the terminology.
Right now, the oddsmakers have made Bama a touchdown favorite to win its second straight national title on Monday night. P.J. Fleck is leaving Western Michigan to take over the football program at Minnesota. The 36-year-old went 30-22 in 4 years as head coach at the Mid-American Conference school. This past season, he led the Broncos to a 13-0 record before they lost in the Cotton Bowl to Wisconsin 24-16. The decision comes 3 days after Minnesota athletic director Mark Coyle fired Tracy Clays following a standoff between the team's players and the administration over the suspension of 10 players in connection with sexual assault allegations. The NFL has two playoff games tomorrow as Oakland visits Houston at 4:35, while Detroit travels to Seattle at 8:15. The league has suspended Cowboys defensive end Randy Gregory for at least 1 year after another violation of its substance abuse policy. He served 4-game and 10-game bans during the regular season. Buffalo quarterback Tyrod Taylor will have surgery to repair a sports hernia, an injury which hampered him this past season. And ESPN.com says Washington has fired defensive coordinator Joe Barry. The Redskins are ranked 28th in the league in yards allowed per game in each of Barry's 2 seasons in D.C. Brain injury deaths in high school football across the U.S. have risen slightly. More now from Warren Levinson.
The new study reports 24 deaths from high school and 4 from college football between 2005 and 2014. There's been a slight increase in the last 5 years, but not enough to say whether that's the result of better reporting. The researchers say most of the deaths occurred during games and as a result of tackling. A third of those who died were running backs, a fifth were linebackers. The researchers at the University of North Carolina have been studying fatal injuries in football since 1965. In the first decade, 4 times as many players died from head and spine injuries. The last several decades have seen rule changes and improvements in medical treatment. Warren Levinson, New York.
A report from FoxSports.com says second baseman Brandon Phillips used his no-trade clause in November to block the Cincinnati Reds from dealing him to Atlanta. As a 10-year veteran with 5 or more years with the same team, the 35-year-old Phillips has the right to reject a trade. Last year, he said no to swaps that would have sent him to the Nationals and Diamondbacks. Phillips signed a 6-year, $72 million extension with the Reds prior to the 2012 season. He hit .291 last summer with 11 home runs and 64 RBIs. And from the NHL, Columbus last night saw its 16-game winning streak end with a 5-0 defeat against Washington. The Blue Jackets finished just 1 victory shy of the league record set by Pittsburgh in 1992-93. And that's a look at sports. Have yourselves a great weekend. For Morehead State Public Radio, I'm Chuck Mraz reporting.
Support for MSPR comes from MSU Athletics online at msueagles.com. Eagle basketball will host a doubleheader with SIU Edwardsville tomorrow afternoon. The women play at 2 p.m. and the men's contest begins at 4:15. Tickets and more information are available from the MSU Eagle ticket office at 783-2386 or online at msueagles.com.
Good afternoon from the national offices of Hilliard Lyons. This is Bud Luke with your closing stock market report for MSU Public Radio. U.S. equities closed higher and actually finished at all-time closing highs today as the technology sector led while investors parsed through key employment data. In the Dow, industrials did finish with a gain of 64.51 at 19,963.8. And intraday, the Dow industrials got within 1 point of the magical 20,000 level. The S&P 500 was up 7.98 at 2276.98, and the NASDAQ Composite was up 33.12 at 5521.06. And these were all-time closing highs for all three of the major indices. New York Stock Exchange breadth was 15 to 13 in favor of losing stocks over winners, so the broader market not quite as strong. The NASDAQ Composite outperformed today as it was up about 0.6%, and leading the tech-heavy index higher were tech bellwethers such as Apple and Facebook, Amazon, Netflix, and Google parent Alphabet. So the so-called FANG stocks definitely adding some strength today to the NASDAQ. The U.S. economy added 156,000 jobs in December, according to data from the Bureau of Labor Statistics. Economists expected an increase of 178,000. The unemployment rate came in at 4.7%, which was expected. And average hourly earnings rose 10 cents to $26, and this represented a 2.9% annualized gain. The U.S. dollar rose 0.7% against six other currencies, this a day after falling sharply. The euro dropped 0.6% against the dollar to just over $1.05, while the yen slid about 1.3%, finishing at 1.17. Other data released included November factory orders, which fell 2.4%, which was more than expected. Treasury bond prices, as would be expected, fell following the employment data release, and in particular the strong average hourly earnings gain affected Treasury prices, and as bond prices fell, the 10-year note yield rose to 2.42%, while the two-year note yield climbed almost to 1.22%. Among Dow industrial stocks today, your best performers were Nike and Disney, while your worst performers were Verizon and Walmart. In the S&P 500, the best performers were Illumina and eBay, and the worst performers were Regeneron and Indo International. Turning now to stocks of local interest, it was Ashland Incorporated up 38 cents at 111.82, CSX up 53 cents at 37.52, Marathon Petroleum down 68 cents at 50.37, AEP down 4 cents at 63.15, AK Steel down 16 cents at 10.72, and Kroger was down 11 cents to finish at 33.10. Reporting for MSU Public Radio, this is Bud Luke from the Ashland offices of Hilliard Lyons.
Support for MSPR comes from the Mountain Arts Center in Prestonsburg, presenting the Steep Canyon Rangers in concert with special guest Tyler Childers, 7:30 p.m., Friday, February 3rd. The featured touring band for Steve Martin and Grammy Award winners for Best Bluegrass Album, the Steep Canyon Rangers blend high-energy bluegrass music with Americana mountain music. Steep Canyon Rangers with special guest Tyler Childers, 7:30 p.m. on Friday, February 3rd at the Mountain Arts Center. Tickets and information online, Facebook, or 606-889-9125.
A final look at the weather forecast for the MSPR listening area. Tonight, cold and mostly cloudy with flurries possible, lows around 5 above. For Saturday, very cold and mostly sunny, highs in the upper teens. Saturday night, cold and partly cloudy with lows around 10 above. Sunday, sunny with highs in the lower 20s. Sunday night, cold and partly cloudy, lows 10 to 15 degrees. For Monday, partly sunny with highs in the upper 30s. Monday night, mostly cloudy with a 50% chance of snow showers, lows in the lower 30s. For Tuesday, cloudy with rain or snow showers likely, highs around 50 degrees and the chance of precipitation is at 60%. For Tuesday night, cloudy with rain showers likely, lows in the upper 30s, chance of rain is at 70%. Taking a look at some of the area temperatures, it's 19 degrees in Ashland, 15 degrees in Flemingsburg, 21 degrees in Inez. It's 16 degrees in Lexington and Winchester. Right here on the campus of Morehead State University, it is currently 17 degrees. And that's it for Mountain Edition this afternoon. We had help from MSPR staff Chuck Moraz, Dan Conti, Arlo Barnett, Ashley Chapman, and Chaz Jenkins. From the Kentucky News Network, Will Clark and Haley Hansen, and MSU professor John Modaff gave us our feature this afternoon. This is Morehead State Public Radio, WMKY Morehead, and translator W202BH Inez. Our show is archived daily on the web at wmky.org. For all of the MSPR News team, I'm Samantha Morrill from Moorhead State Public Radio News. All Things Considered is next. It's 5 o'clock.